You've been sitting there for a little while. You have 1 minute to turn to the person next to you because you've been sitting and you've been consuming. I want you to tell the person next to you in 1 minute what you've learnt or what you know about computational thinking. And when you hear me squeaking from down here again, please stop and we'll continue on. 1 minute, go. What you're saying and... Don't need another presentation, that's great. I'll just go. What I've prepared for you tonight, and apparently my link is not working, I apologise for that. Has anybody else managed to get on? It's a capital L to lowercase l. If that's not right, I will make sure I give the link to Leanne, because what I've prepared for you is basically a toolkit that you can go away with and think over, because there is no way in this short session that you are going to get a full understanding of computational thinking, but I've tried to pull out the big chunks of it for you so that you can take it away. I've also put in videos, and there's bunches of pages at the end with links for things that I use so that you can take it away and use it as best you can. I'm a big believer in sharing, and believe you me, we will make the very best of digital technologies if we break down the barriers and learn together. And that's what I'm all about. Alrighty, so you've heard a lot about coding. I, by the way, who am I? I'm just a normal teacher. I teach at Roseville College. I am a junior school teacher, so don't switch off high school wonderful people, because we can learn so much from you and vice versa. This Sylvia Duckworth is one of my faves. She's on Twitter a lot, and she just sums things up. She's a bit of a sketchnoter at heart. We need to think about coding and computational thinking. I'm going to call it CT a lot because it's such a big word. We need to think of them as combined together. We've got to stop treating coding as the be-all and end-all. Coding lets us achieve so much, but what we achieve through coding is pure, really phenomenal. I am going to zip through a lot of these things because it's already been covered. So if you're thinking, why are you going through it? It's to get to the next part, okay, so that we don't rehash. Is it the latest fad? It absolutely is not. It actually underpins so much of what you currently do, and I don't want you to go away thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to add another thing in. You can enhance what you're already doing, but you need to understand that you're probably doing a lot of it already. We need to think of our future for Australia. We are facing a massive glut in people coming out into the workforce without the necessary skills. I was at the Entrepreneurial Awards last Tuesday night at Parliament House, and one of the ladies there finished with a really good comment, which I think rings true to all of us. We need to teach all of this. We need to foster entrepreneurial skills and computational thinking and all of the things that are coming in the digital technologies curriculum, please, to make us a smarter future. Not just safe, not just cool, but smarter. The things that it unlocks is critical. Anyway, we've talked about that again. Bigger picture. I'm just going to see if I can quickly play this video. I'm hoping the sound works. This is done by Made with Code by Google. I work in a girls' school, so it's particularly relevant, but it nicely sums up some of the things we're trying to cover. So I'll just see if the sound works.
With invisible stuff and weightless things. The world is made with DNA, drawn together into tigers and cathedrals and snow cones. The world is made with bits of language, letters and spaces and numbers, organizing nations and brunch and love. The world is made with you, unreplicable, particular you, who are made with tiny bits and words strung together. You whose effect can be enormous, life-changing, history-making, world-better-making. The code to change is also made with tiny bits and bytes drawn together. To dig wells, to share a joke with millions, to get directions. You are a girl who understands bits exist to be assembled. And when you learn to code, you can assemble anything that you see missing. And in so doing, you will fix something. Or change something. Or invent something. Or run something. And maybe that's how you will play your bit in this world.
Okay, so that's the That's the touchy-feely, get the goosebumps going. I can do anything, but that's what we want. And from a junior school perspective, we want to start young with the idea that you can. And with computational thinking, you actually can. I have not gone and done computing science, although now that I've been learning so much more about it, I really wish I had, because I can see so many ways I could have applied it and saved myself a heck of a lot of learning now. So, how does it fit with computational thinking? What actually is computational thinking? I'm not going to read that. You can have a look through it there. But what we need to start thinking about is that it's a problem-solving process with a whole stack more. The next three slides, there is going to be a lot of different speak in there, which I really encourage you to take away and investigate further. We can focus on how it works in your context when you get a handle on understanding it. It goes across the curriculum. If we have a look here, when you look at this list, you can see that learning to code covers so many of these different processes, but it's not just about the processes. It's about looking for the patterns. If you have a look up the top, sorry, I'm finding it hard to read on this computer screen. I'll just move over here. I'm going to read the first part out because it sums it out so beautifully. It's the mental processes, so the bringing together the abstraction, the algorithm design, etc., and tangible outcomes associated with solving problems in computing. Every career that our students are going to go into are going to be touched by computing. Imagine the power we can put into their hands if we teach them the thinking, the skills behind it. If all of those terms absolutely freak you out, you're not alone. But they are achievable, and you're probably, as the previous video said, you're probably already doing. What does it lead to? Well, it develops these skills. And we've heard time and time again, and I'm tired of hearing that we don't know what the jobs are that our kids are going to be going into. We know that, but what are we trying to develop for them? We're trying to teach them how to solve problems in a creative way. We want them to think of things logically. We need them to analyse data. We need them to be looking at automating solutions and developing their algorithmic thinking. So working through things in steps, rather than just consuming, we want the kids to be able to create it, not just be able to do it. The wonderful thing that comes from that is that we end up getting these skills as a result. When you see these skills, these are those very skills that employers are wanting in the workplace. All of these came from Google's Computational Concepts Thinking Guide, which is online. They also run a course that you can put yourself through, which I'm halfway through. I haven't finished it. It's free. I recommend you jump on board and have a go yourself. If you want to develop yourself further, just jump on their website and look for the course. It gives you a great concept or understanding of what it's all about. So you see the skills. I want kids to be able to deal with complex things. I want them to be able to tackle things and go, okay, so I don't quite understand it. How am I going to get around it? I want them to wrestle with issues. Because if we don't know the jobs that they're going to be in, how can we prepare them? Well, we can prepare them by dealing with all sorts of things. We also, a big thing that comes through computational thinking, and I'll give you an example in my context that makes it come more alive, is the communication. The ability to communicate is key. Kids need to be able to articulate what's going wrong. Why isn't my program running? I need to analyse the code. I need to go behind the scenes and understand it. And that's what computational thinking is all about, bringing those things together. All right, so Steve Jobs. He thinks we should do it, so therefore you should. Not really. Yeah, that's right. But one of the key things that we need to get across to kids is breaking big problems down into chunks and then being effective with how we actually go about finding solutions to those. So it's systematically analysing problems. Let's not overcomplicate this for kids when we get to school. The worst thing we could do is go and say, you guys need to know how to think computationally. What we need to do is provide authentic and realistic opportunities for them to test these things out. And I've got a couple of ideas on how you can start. I know it's junior school, but senior school, you can build on these things as well. When we teach kids how to code and think computationally, they develop communication, collaboration, creativity, and critical thinking. We need them to identify and analyse problems. Is Chris here tonight? You probably have heard of Chris. He's an amazing educator in that he just cuts through the waffle and gets down to the heart of the matter. And as he put it so beautifully, he said, basically coders and people who can think computationally are good thinkers. We need to show them how to go through and systematically do that. How to come up with innovative solutions and how to ultimately make the world a better place. Okay. We don't want to be the last country to come on board with this. We want to be leading the way with it. We've already dealt with a lot of this, so I'm just going to flick on through there. When we are looking at, we may not be able to articulate our jobs, as we've already said, but we need to equip them with the skills they come away with today. To give you a little, not a way that they come away with today, we need to give them the skills that they need for the future. To give you a little example, all the little teeny link URL shorteners that you've seen on my slides were developed by a 14-year-old student. He was recognised for his outstanding, he's from Northern Beaches Christian School, he was recognised for his outstanding entrepreneurial skills, for the way that he could code, for his ability to communicate, and he received an internship with a company called Blue Chili at 14. And they said, do whatever you like. We can see you've got those skills. What are the skills? It's the skills that come from computational thinking. It's not just that he was suave and persuasive. He knew how to get to the bottom of the matter and make things work. So he invented TinyLink, or TinyLink. I'll have to ask him how you actually pronounce it. I love being able to support things that kids create. If he can develop those things, we've got other students in our care that we can help develop. All right, so how do I start? Don't freak out, you don't need to be an expert. Some of you are, and I'm actually very humbled to be in the room with so many of you who've done some incredible things in education. I'm not an expert, but boy have I grown in the last few years, and it's been exciting because I'm learning how to code alongside with my students. I don't have all of the answers. In my context, just to give you an example, I started with a code club using Scratch. And yes, the jokes went around, is that the itchy club and rah, 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 rah. No, it's actually a coding language. It's okay. Bringing the kids together, we had to, particularly in girls' school, we had to get over the fear of doing something that might not work. So what did we do? We made up little badges and we all made a pact to be fearless explorers. So we made it fun. And through doing that, we created the belief that they could and that it was cool to do this kind of thing. And I have to say, that took a while. But some of them sort of like, oh, yeah, well, that's a bit nerdy. And it's go, yeah, but I'm proud to be a nerd. I'm proud to be a geek. We need to blow away what those preconceived ideas are all about. So you need to change your culture and make it cool, cool for cats to come. But teachers, we need to let go some of the control. I didn't have all the answers, and Bella, a Year 5 student at the time, knew more about coding than me. So I actually now have her helping me run the club. And she runs little challenges with them, and she developed a help desk. I didn't teach her how to do that. She applied the principles of computational thinking, and she developed that herself. She's now very up and running and ready and keen to do even more. And I'm considering handing over part of our LMS, if I can get permission, for her to set up a little course for the kids, because she understands where it comes. So if where I don't understand something, it's okay to hand over control. These are just a few slides that you could take away with you. I won't go through them all. It basically shows that with something like Scratch, there's teacher resources everywhere. And I applaud the fact that we're looking at putting out a syllabus that's packed full of resources to take away, because this research at the moment has taken hours and hours and hours for me to implement in a school. If we can get those resources and have them going, how awesome is that going to be, and how much time is it going to save you? This is a great point to start. If you don't know much about coding and computational thinking, start with Scratch. There's even an app which you'll see a picture of our little people in Year 1 coding on iPads using Scratch Junior. There's a whole education site, and virtually all the apps that are coming out now have some kind of education link with them. Be judicious. Some of the education links are not particularly useful. We just made a Scratch license to make it cool and to give goals, short-term goals. The girls just wanted to jump in and were desperate to say, oh, I see you've got a purple spotty background, I want a purple spotty background. But this is part of the thing about bringing them back and doing things sequentially, understanding that there's a process of needing to go through certain steps, developing their thinking, developing their strategies. So we started from Scratch and we moved to robotics. I don't know whether they're having very much fun. What do you think? I've now taken over that room and we're squashed, which is a really good problem to have. We then, with the Scratch, some girls were showing that they were able to just fly through. And it's not just about making the little sprite go up and down. It's about the girls then applying it to other circumstances. So one girl developed a game on digital citizenship so that girls could test whether they knew enough about internet safety. So it was a true-false thing. Another girl decided to do a maze to improve little junior school or kindergarten's mouse control so that if they were, or finger control on the computer keyboard, so they would learn where the keys are. You can think of a variety of authentic, real applications, not just doing the task for the task's sake. They need to see relevance. These little gorgeous human beings had 5 minutes of instructions for me, after which I said to the teacher, it's now time for us to be quiet and get off the stage and let them experiment. I gave them 5 minutes and they were already developing their own sprites, their own characters, customising backgrounds, learning how to speak, record speech into there, using repeat functions, using if this happens, then that happens. Starting the earlier you go, the better it's going to be. And it will then enable, once they get to senior school, you senior school teachers to go even further. The whole time, though, you need to get feedback. Don't leave them struggling. Some of them find it really hard face-to-face to give you feedback. So we use Google Forms a lot where they can come back and give me feedback that they might be too shy to say to my face. It's very hard to say to a teacher when you've shown them 5 times how to do something, I still don't get it. Now, I've shown you the positive feedback. You haven't seen the negative. Oh, my goodness, this is really hard. But when I find out that student's struggling, that then opens up the communication for another student to come along, sit alongside them, support them, spend a couple of weeks with them and set them on their way. So you can develop mentoring, as well as the kids need to be able to identify within their own coding where the problems are. So we have a bit of a rule that you're not allowed to do it for them. You have to be able to teach them how to do it without touching their computer, hands behind your back. So where do you go from there? Scratch is an awesome starting place. Well, anywhere really. We've now started off in robotics, which is a steep learning journey for me, but we've just made YouTube our best friend. And when we don't know how to do something and it's really hard to find a solution, we have a race. Who can find the best tutorial to teach us how to do something? And a girl last week said, is it okay if I use my mobile phone? I want to see if I can control the robot by Bluetooth. I said, I don't know how to do it, but go for it. She did it within 20 minutes. If I control that, I hinder. Instead, I've now got a guru that can come and teach someone else, let alone me. Plugging into Makey Makeys. We all want to have those musical steps at your school. Let's bring it all in. Maker spaces are now going off, and fantastically so. Just start, dip your toe in. Do a little bit at a time. Aldi's has sales. Go and buy their Goldilocks games. Go buy their electronics kits. Go buy their batteries. Bring them in. Do squishy circuits where they have conductive Play-Doh and stick batteries and wires in and make lights shine up. How awesome to play and learn and then make those connections between, well, why is this happening? Can I put this with a computer? Instead of consuming, teach the kids to control the technology. That's part of all developing the computational thinking. Little Bits is my absolute favourite at the moment, but next week it'll be something else. 5 minutes? Okay. The fun theory. Look at it, look at the videos, a lot of studies into those steps overseas about making stairs musical and a change in human behaviour. One of the projects I want the girls to do is to develop a sound meter for our playground, which is hideously noisy when they all squeal. I want them to have some kind of sound meter so that when it detects a certain noise, a funny face pops up to say, ah, it's too loud or something like that. But instead of me creating it, get the kids to create it. I've already talked about the robotics. The beautiful thing about Lego robotics, is that it's all drag and drop. So if they've gone through, mostly drag and drop, if they've gone through Scratch, the move to robotics is just, it flows on. It's fantastic. Maker spaces. Now, don't worry if you don't get all of these because it's all in the presentation, which you're more than welcome to take. Start small. Let them create. What can you use? Here's a whole range, and these are all hyperlinked for you. Hour of Code is about to launch. If you haven't done it yet, go for it. Better still, get your heads of departments doing it with you. Get your principal in there. Get the kids teaching them. For the little ones, there's all sorts of things like frozen coding games and so on, so you can all let it go together. You can. There's pencil code, which is amazing. All sorts of things. The next one, Where do you go to get the bigger picture resources? Here are some great places to start. I'm not going to go into all of them, but they're there for you and I'd love you to experiment with. There's another little Hour of Code video there which I won't play because I always rattle on. But where does it go? We've been going for 2 to 3 years. These are my girls at the Young ICT Explorers competition. If you haven't got your students into it, can I encourage you to? This is probably the most authentic place that you could have students displaying and showcasing their work. 3 of our students did incredibly well this year, and it's because we had developed the belief that they can, and we supported them in their journey. We did not make these projects. One group developed a sushi train timer that when a plate is put on the sushi train, a sensor is activated. It then does a countdown, it sends data to a Google spreadsheet and a message to the owner's mobile phone, and it notes the time that the sushi tray expired because one of them was terrified about dying from over whatever sushi. Bella, who runs my... if I can just ask you not to take photos because obviously they're students. Bella has... Her sister is profoundly deaf and has bilateral cochlear implants. So she's using a GPS breakout module and she's coding that to extend the range of when the part that goes on the head, I don't even know the terminology, her sister loses that and it's $10,000 every time they have to replace it. She's extending the range on that so that she can track where she's lost that part of the cochlear. The other girls have developed with a Raspberry Pi a way of communicating with their grandfather on a remote farm by taking photos and stuff coming up on the screen. I don't know how to do all of that, but I can enable the kids to do it and I can help them develop their computational thinking skills and find experts to bring in when I don't know. The biggest thing I want you to take away from today is that you can, it's powerful, and you will have a part in creating a smarter future.
Thank you. Got a lot of passionate teachers. Okay, for a lot of you in this room, you're secondary.
I know that.
So what are you going to teach those guys when they hit you in year 17?
Exactly.
Think about that. One of the things...